So first things first, Kyle, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Thanks for having me. How about yourself?
I'm not too bad either. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to talk with us. Now, where I want to
Absolutely.
start is I read a previous interview you did some years back, and you described your own music as sonic
Yeah.
waterboarding. How did you arrive at that term to describe what you do?
I don't remember the day that it came up, but I was just, I'm always trying to describe, I lean on metaphor a lot, to talk about things, but I don't remember. I think it was, maybe through that interview process. I can't remember. I was just reaching for different ways of describing the effect I wanted it to have on the listener, because you can use, adjectives like overwhelm or punish or whatever, but it's like, what's a real like visceral way that you can relate to the experience? And after I came up with that, I was like, there's just really, for me, there's no better way of explaining what I feel and what I was going for when I made that album. Just that. Never being allowed to take a breath, but never dying. That it's like suffocating endlessly,
But
is what that album feels like to me.
I find that term interesting, and other descriptions you've given in the past about the music, because it kind of touches upon that question: what is art, and what is its function, and what kind of answer have you for yourself found to that question: what is art, and what do you want to it to do?
Awesome. Love that question. Thank you. To me, art, as elegantly as I can understand it, is doing your best to honestly broadcast your human experience to another person. That's it. It's really, and that sounds might it might sound overly simplified, but it's not. I mean, a lot of people that try to, as soon as that's not what you're doing, it's not art. As soon as you start making something that isn't a true representation of your internal experience, that's not art anymore. If you make something for someone to listen to because you think, oh, I'm going to make this song because I think other people will like it, that's not art, in my opinion. Even if it's a good song. You know what I mean? Like you can make a really
Sure.
good product and have it not be art. So I think art is in its purest form, it's when you're feeling something that you cannot articulate with the very crude and incomplete medium of human language. With and it's so potent and big in you, and you don't have words for it that you have to manifest it outside of yourself and share it with everybody,
Sure.
and people do that with whatever emotion they're experiencing. If someone feels, if they're overwhelmed by love, they're going to write some love songs and they're going to want you, the listener, to feel loved. You know what I mean? If you feel lonely, you're going to want the world to know that you're lonely, or your listener, maybe not the world, maybe yourself, who knows, whoever you're making it for. But
Sure.
and for me, I was really angry and hurt, and that's what I wanted to make people feel. Misery loves company, just like every other emotion. And anger gets a bad rap for that. Like, don't you fucking, but show me one emotion that people don't try to impose on other people. If you're happy, you're gonna want other people to be happy. So I'm not defending being a fucking terror. I'm just saying it's like a human, it's just a natural, like,
It's part of our being.
it's just what we do. It's just what we do. And there's a function for it.
Sure.
Like if you think of humanity as kind of an organism, you want to know where the parts of your body are hurting. where the infections are. And I think a lot of people that are suffering, you know, them lashing out is their way of being like, there's a problem here, you know? And that's not, it's not, again, that doesn't pardon any, it's just a fact of the matter, right? So for me, I took that seriously. And instead of trying to write really good songs, I tried to write music that the end result would be, let me put it this way. I think when a lot of the qualifiers that people conventionally use to determine if a song is good or bad usually has something to do with a kind of accessibility, pleasantness, comfortability, sure, ease of listening, right? So if you're trying to not create that experience, you have to kind of twist and bend and ruffle things to the point where you're kind of shredding those nerves now. Mm. You know, it's kind of like dissonance. Well, a lot of metal bands discovered with dissonance, what that can right. do to you. You know, it kind of, you know, it's like not, it's kind of sadistic, you know what I mean? Like, it's not sure. the most pleasant thing to listen to. So being able to create a sound that almost pushes the listener away while at the very, to the very, to their breaking point, letting them up for air, pulling them back in close, and then doing everything we can to kind of force them to meet us where we're at. Like, we're kind of wrestling with the listener, you know. Vitriol should never be an easy listen.
Okay.
It should never be, you know, and that's a love it or hate it thing. But I've always really liked difficult music. Mm. So that's what I wanted to do. Sorry. That was kind of a,
That makes my job very, very easy. So that's always helpful. No, I get it completely because, well, what I find interesting then is when did the, how would I say, technical prowess, your skills as a musician catch up to what you had in your mind then? When did you, were you able to approximate what it was that you wanted to convey?
Oh, great question. That took a long time. That was
was it the previous album or maybe the EP even, or
kind of a two-parter? That, again, going back to what my goals with Vitriol were, it was more about vibe than technicality. So I was trying to use, and I still do, you use technicality to lend itself to that density, to that kind of flood of information, you know, that is to me like can be a punishing experience in a fun way. But it was really just about creating something that felt like 50 tons of mercury, you know? And honestly, the first song that truly felt like Vitriol as it is now was Victim.
Okay.
That was the first song Adam and I were like, fuck, this is it. Like, this is just so mean. You know what I mean? Like, this is just such a mean sounding song. So that was that, and like Pain Will Define Their Death, I think, were the identity revelations of the band. And as far as technicality, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's not, it's so funny to say because we are objectively an extremely technical band, but
sure.
Technicality is not a huge priority. It's just kind of, it's a means to an end. And it's also just a byproduct of me being an obsessive, person that whatever I do, I'm going to, you know, try to, I get bored easy. So I like to really push myself with everything that I do. And so I think the technicality is also just a byproduct of that, of me wanting to just develop more and more and challenge myself.
No, but I think it's cool. I mean, if you listen to Matt's drumming on the album, it's insane, some parts. So the finding the right people around you, who can go along on that journey with you is really cool, I think.
It's very cool and hard. You know, Matt is such a
Sure.
cool. It took a long time. It took about 10 years to find that guy. But yeah, I realized pretty far in, pretty late in the game, that Vitriol, like, you know, Adam and I are just willing to, I don't know, punish ourselves more than other people. Like, that's, I think, our strength rather than talent. Or not that I don't think we're untalented. I don't think we're talented, but we just endure shit. And that's hard to find, people that are willing to do that, to do something that's that difficult with that little of, like, monetary reward, you know.
Sure. I have a two-part question about this because, on the one end, I believe this creative process or recording process of the new album was described as somewhat arduous, and you even took on productional duties as well. So you have to balance a lot of things at the same time. So it's very difficult, as you mentioned, you endure and you kind of push through. And the second part of that is, what do you attribute that to? Why are you that way? Have you thought about that? Why you kind of have that resilience or determination?
Yeah, I mean, the short answer is autism. Like, full-blown Asperger's is definitely a part of it. I'm laughing, but I am being sincere.
Okay.
So that is, I mean, genuinely, like, a people with my brain type have access to a kind of hyperfixation that other people don't. So I always thought I was just like an obsessive nut bar, which I am, but I guess there's a reason for that. Other that Beyond that, why I'm willing to keep doing it with metal, and this music, is swear I get to sound really corny, love, I guess. You know, I just really, this art is the most important thing in my life. It's been the most valuable thing, as a fan of the medium. It's been the most rewarding thing in my life. It's given me, I like to say, that which gave me everything deserves everything from me. And that's how I feel about this music. That's how I feel about the philosophies espoused by the band. So for me, it's so much more than a metal band. It's like a vehicle for self-actualization and, like, self-discovery and devotion. There's something very devotional about it. To me, it's like, I think everyone in the world should have one place in their life, whether it be here or anywhere else, where you leave everything out on the, what am I trying to say? Where you truly submit yourself to an effort that is beyond. It's kind of like I imagine it's what, like, religious people experience when they're talking about how important it is to have something larger than yourself.
Sure.
And for me, Vitriol is the place where my comfort doesn't matter anymore. You know, your what you want doesn't matter anymore. You know, it's like this radically humbling place where it's just like, all whatever, if the song can be better, it needs to be better. Like, it doesn't matter what, you don't want to spend another month, I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. You spent too long writing a song that isn't that good because you're too proud to shit can. I don't give a fuck. You know it can be better. Make it better. Throw it away. That kind of a thing where you just don't, it's no excuses, no shortcuts, no letting yourself off the hook. You know, there are places it's healthy to have to be able to do that, to half-ass some things, you know what I mean? In some places in life, but everyone has to have like a temple where you see what you're made of, where you really see what you're made of. And a rock to crash against, you know? And that's, for me, I've framed vitriol as that in my mind, that that's my one arena that when I walk into, I'm a warrior. You know what I mean? Like, sure. There's no fucking excuses. And that's, and being able to rise to that occasion is very rewarding. So in that way, making that a value, you know, some people would say it's romanticizing suffering. I would say, what's so bad about that? But once you make that a value, it becomes tremendously that suffering becomes really rewarding because it's not meaningless anymore. You know, like a lot of, why am I doing, like, I get people asking me that, why do you do it? Why do you, if you're not having fun, why do you do it? And I genuinely pity people that ask me that question. Because it's like, if you really think the only things of value
are things that come easy,
worth doing are things that are fun, fuck, your life must be hollow. You know what I mean? Like, so empty. Mm. And that's,
as you mentioned, I do think there's beauty in suffering, and obviously there are different kinds of suffering, but suffering for art or suffering for a certain goal, I mean, there always has to be, you have to put something in to get something out again.
Sacrifice.
Are you the same then with your lyrics? Because I do find your lyrics quite interesting because they are very, somewhat poetic and how would I describe this? I read somewhere where you I don't know if this was you were talking about lyric writing in general, but you kind of try to take the perspective from the outside. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've always felt that out of phase on the outside looking in, you know, I think that's a experience. Not to make this about brain types or anything, but you know, that's an experience that's underlined all of my interpersonal relationships throughout life. It's kind of this distance. I feel like there's this big glass pane between myself and everything else.
Okay.
And later in life, realizing, discovering, getting the autism diagnosis, the high functioning autism, that's pretty universal for people with autism, that experience, that kind of alienness, you know. So I think that is, why I'm bringing this up is because it's been really rewarding for me touring and meeting a lot of fans who have similar brains. And what I'm realizing is a lot of that information and that world experience, like going back to saying what art is, the beauty in actually endeavoring to make art and not a product is, if you do it, it's a siren song for people that share that experience. And what was kind of beautiful about Vitriol's music for me is that touring and meeting so many neurodivergent fans was an awakening for me, because I saw myself in them and I'm like, oh, there's like a code written in this shit, you know? So I definitely, you know, I just like talking about that because it not only, I think makes other people feel comfortable talking about it, but also, I think my fans that share that experience feel very validated and like seen when they find out that I am. So yeah, I think that is a weird way of answering your question, but yeah, it is definitely like a alien perspective. There's a line in one of my favorite songs they've written lyrically, "Violence a Worthy Truth." And it says, I will make peace with being orphaned by this world, for it is not of me, and I'm not of it, and I not of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just kind of this comfort with being like, I'm here kind of as a passenger. I don't feel like a part of this thing. But the lyrics are more important than the music for me. I mean, that's definitely where I put the music ultimately serves the lyrics. You know, it's to, I've always had this idea where I'm like, if I make Vitriol potent enough musically, people kind of be forced to take the lyrics seriously, because they'll be like, man, well, this guy's clearly trying. Let's hear him out.
But have you always been a big reader or read poetry or those kind of things? What inspires or
I've always written as a young kid. I wanted to be a writer before I wanted to be a musician. And that was my first passion, was creative writing. I'm embarrassed to admit I'm not much of a reader. That is definitely one of my intellectual blind spots, but I always wrote, you know. I cherry pick stuff, you know, but I'm not an avid reader. But yeah, I just always wrote. And when I, that was tough for me, because when I was deciding to participate in bands, I was like, fuck, what do I do? Do I be a guitar player, or do I do the vocalist thing? There was like a weird window in my teens where I was like, I'm just going to be a vocalist because I want to write lyrics. Decided there's no way I could be in another person's band where I'm not involved in the writing the music. So I was like, ah, fuck it, I'll be a guitar player.
I'll have to do it.
And then here we are now. That's the life of a control freak. You know, what do you want? So yeah, for me, it was always just about wanting to share my internal world in that way. And I love writing, and I just want, if I could choose to have my lyrics or my music be my legacy, it would be my lyrics.
Final question then, because one thing I also read about the new album is that there are like tidbits of hope in there, that there are of optimism, a sense of optimism in a sense. And one thing I got, and maybe I'm misguided, but it feels like there's some sense of transformation in the music. Is that at all a fair assessment, that there's kind of...
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's even, you know, really in the title, Suffer and Become, you know.
Sure.
So it is this violent... I mean, even Vitriol itself, the name is... represents a violent refinement, you know, like a tough love, you know what I mean? So this album was really in the spirit of self-inquiry, asking questions instead of presenting answers. And that, it's a reforging. It's like a reshaping. There was something about the first album that was very necessarily, I don't mean this in a bad way, but in a positive way, like very arrogant and, you know, in the sense that it wasn't very, not arrogant as in how it was made, but arrogant in its sound, you know, just very like, where this album is more, there's a line in the new album that says, my hour of contempt is once again upon me, which is this idea that inviting this back into yourself, this radical self-doubt, this attacking parts of yourself that are not serving you anymore. And the final line, the final song, He Will Fight Savagely, I think represents this idea best, where it says, With your tale in hand, I am led to the end of man and the door of succession. You know, like, what's next?
Mm.
What's beyond what I am now? You know, the spiritual evolution of what I am now, I guess.
I think that's
So, yeah.
I think that's a beautiful place to end. Kyle, may I thank you so much for being so open with me and for this conversation.
Thank you very much.